Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget tomorrow, Smashville Live, back out in your neck of the woods, Chase. They just can't get out of Bellevue. It's the hot spot.
It is. Brewhouse 100.
It's like they built, you know, they put ice out there or something. It's weird.
They did.
Oh, wait a minute. They did.
They sure did.
They have a Ford Ice Center at Bellevue, but that's not where they're going to be doing the show. It's going to be at Brewhouse 100, which is located at 8098 Highway 100. The show will be from 7 until 8. This week, it'll be Vince Gill.
Yeah, that'll
be fun.
Braden Gall will host and be alongside Vinny, so that should be fun. And I told Braden that I will disown him if he doesn't ask Vince about touring with the Eagles.
I mean, that's a given, right? There'll be a limited number of autographs and pictures, so make sure you get there early. That show is from 7 until 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. That should be a really fun show.
Yeah, I think
Vince Gill, if you've never met him, is one cool customer.
He is. Vince actually, I don't know if I've told you this story before, but Vince gave me one of my first guitar lessons because I had just started playing and my grandmother still had the Loveless. And I was just sitting outside, had my guitar, trying to figure it out. And he was coming in to eat and showed me a chord.
Really?
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Chase was so moved by it, he got into sports talk radio.
I did. Yep. There you go.
But you do play the guitar.
I do. We're gonna find a day when you both are here, and I'll bring it in, and we'll have some fun. We'll get the callers lined up and see if they can guess a song or something.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
For some tickets.
Yeah. Could do that.
That'd be a good giveaway. Probably the most fun we've ever had at giving away, to, at least in my mind, most fun for me, is playing the songs backwards.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, we used to do that.
I enjoyed that.
Because you'd get some, I mean, it would just make you laugh, some of the songs you'd get.
Of course, we used to have a producer on the show that thought giving stuff away was stupid, so. But we fought past, you know, we moved on past that.
Yes, you did.
We think it's cool. We think it's fun.
It is, it's fun. Especially when you work for it.
Before we get back into this Titans-Chiefs AFC title game, how about the news that broke during our show toward the end yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And then it kept going after the show.
And you're not talking about Chad Johnson trying out for the XFL as a kicker?
No, I am not. I'm not talking about the Antonio Brown stupid video down in Florida, which is just ugh, yuck.
You're not talking about...
Well, I watched that. I just... Yuck! I just want to take a shower. Yuck, Antonio Brown. Ugh.
I know. I hope he never plays again.
Gross. Gross of a person. The Astros.
Yes.
The scandal. Well, we said yesterday the news was the GM and the manager, the skipper, have been given the year off.
Yeah. They were suspended.
Now they've been given longer than a year off. Because the Astros decided just to go on and fire both of them.
Probably the right move, if I'm being honest. Because, you know, Jeff Luhnow, the GM, A.J. Hinch, the manager, this was never going to go away. And, I mean, they were, you know, the Astros have been through other things this year. When the assistant GM, they fired the assistant GM earlier in the year because of comments. And now they just clean house and...
Well, it was the comment on their closer, remember, Osuna?
Yeah, with the domestic violence.
Right.
Yeah. So they fired the assistant GM. Now they've just cleaned house, fired the manager and the GM. I didn't see a way around it. You know, once the suspension came out, it kind of felt like, all right, yep, probably going that way. And that's ultimately what they decided to do. And owner Jim Crane making that decision. And look, there could be more with other teams. I mean, Alex Cora... it's reported he's probably going to get a hefty punishment with the Red Sox.
Yep.
And then
what is hefty, though?
I mean, I would think it's a year-long suspension.
I was
going to
say
a
year?
Jeff Passan last night on SportsCenter, he said it could possibly be 2 year suspension or a ban from baseball. He threw the B-word out on SportsCenter last night about Alex Cora because he was so involved with the Houston scandal and Boston's. He was apparently hands-on. I ended up reading the report last night. That Rob Manfred put out, and from reading that, As insane as a punishment as that sounds, based on the report that Rob Manfred made about the Astros, it might happen. That's an actual possibility.
Why are they waiting? Why is it waiting so long? Just because?
Because they have to investigate the Red Sox incident too. So not only is Cora been investigated for
Houston
in 2017.
He's already in trouble already for Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to get the hammer dropped on him for Boston in 2018 as well.
Wow.
Do you think that he gets the same thing? He probably just gets fired?
Well, yeah.
I think so.
If he gets 2 years or gets a ban.
Yeah. Well, a ban,
I would say yeah.
I just think even, you know, when baseball hands, I feel like there's a meeting behind the scenes like, hey, we're going to publicly hand down this sentence that they're going to be suspended for a year or 2 years. But basically what we're telling you is you probably are going to want to go ahead and fire them. And then that'll be good.
Kathleen on Twitter has a crying GIF. And she says, you guys never talk baseball, and now you're talking about this. Well, one.
That is not true. We
talk
baseball.
One, that is not true. We probably talk baseball more than any show in this town, I would say. It's pretty safe.
Yeah.
And
we've
two,
got players in here.
I'm sorry, you're an Astros fan.
Don't cheat.
I'm sorry, you're cheaters. Your team was a bunch of cheaters.
Don't cheat.
So, sorry. Not sorry.
I did see a funny tweet that Carlos Beltran, who was on the Astros team as a player, will not get any punishment. And then somebody replied with, well, his punishment is he has to manage the Mets.
That was his punishment. You're sent to New York to manage the Mets.
That's his punishment. I don't see that going well either.
All right. So how do you see this? Tell me right now as we sit here on a Tuesday. You were there in Baltimore. You'll be there in Kansas City on Sunday. By the way, we'll be providing you great coverage yet again on the station from Kansas City all weekend long. What do you what's a couple of key things that you're thinking about right now on this Tuesday?
So as you know, you've done this long enough that when the team has success, you start getting calls from other markets to do interviews. So I did a couple yesterday. And
what was the theme? I by the way, I love doing that.
Yeah.
Because I've done so many of those over the years, because you get a vibe, like you get a feel for what the other market is talking about.
Well, they're asking about Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And can he keep this up? They're asking, are you surprised that Ryan Tannehill hasn't had to do more? Which, truthfully, the answer is yes. I thought he'd have to throw the ball in Baltimore. And Derrick Henry, you know, carried the load. I think they have to continue to do more of the same. They're setting the tone early in the game. They're scoring points in the first quarter, which has been an issue for them in the past. They're going to have to get on Kansas City early, whether it's, you know, getting the ball on or putting the defense out first and stopping Patrick Mahomes, getting a big stop or holding them to a field goal. That sets the tone. And this Dean Pease defense has done a good job of that. So I feel like they got to do that. And then, look, Derrick Henry's got to continue to be Derrick Henry. You know, if he doesn't get 200 yards, okay, that's fine. But he has to continue to carry the rock.
He's going to carry the rock, but what does he have to do? Because right now it's so unfair and at times unrealistic to think that he's going to just keep rushing or flirting with 200-yard games every game.
Yeah.
But that's what he's been doing. Is that realistic? I know he had, 188 the first go-around already this year. So what's realistic? What do they need for him to keep this thing going? Like what is a bad number? What's a good number?
I think
anything below spells trouble.
Anything below 20 carries and less than 100 yards, that's uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
You're in uh-oh mode.
I would agree.
If he gets 20 to 25 carries and he's at 150 yards, they're winning the game, I think. I think they win the game if he gets 150 yards. Now, if he gets 120, they probably win too, but you're going to be asking Ryan Tannehill to do more. Here's the other thing. That the defense for the Chiefs is good, not great, especially the secondary. I think they can be exploited, and they were.
They've been way better in the second half of the season.
They have.
It's probably an underrated story this second half of the NFL is how much better their defense has gotten.
Yeah, so and A.J. Brown had a big game against them. So can you get more of that? Because I honestly think you can't get through four games in the playoffs, which the three playoff games in the Super Bowl, without getting production from A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill. I just don't think he can do it. Like, it's been a great story the past 2 weeks.
In other words, something's got to give.
Yeah.
Like, no field goal attempts, a quarterback throwing for under 100 yards. A.J. Brown has been non-existent. Like, something's got to give, right? Like, it's been all Derrick Henry in the offensive line.
Right. I mean,
and Johnny Smith's been really good, too.
Sure. But you're going to have to get more production out of your quarterback and your top wide receiver, especially against a team like the Chiefs. And while that secondary has gotten better, I do think they can still exploit some weaknesses. And I'm curious, too, with the run game, because Elijah had the stat yesterday. What was it, 21% of the time they stacked the box against Henry?
Against Kansas City, it was
17%. I think that number is going to go up. So is Derrick Henry was effective when Baltimore stacked the box. That didn't slow him down, but is that going to be the same with Kansas City? That's a fair question.
The reason Derrick Henry has to carry the load, no matter if it's working or not, is because they have to, like they've been doing, especially the Baltimore game, they have to try to keep that offense off the field. They have to. I mean, there's no secret to that, because Baltimore and Kansas City are pretty similar. I mean, I know Baltimore was better, but Kansas City's right there. I mean, Kansas City is prolific offense in the NFL, period. When they've got everything going, which they will, Travis Kelce is a matchup nightmare, as we saw last weekend, 3 touchdowns against the Texans. And we saw how important he was the last time these two teams met in the playoffs. When he went down, the whole game changed. He went down late in the first half. Everything changed for Kansas City. They've got a burner in Hill. They can. I mean, Mahomes is special.
Right.
They're just you have to figure out a way. You cannot just go up and down the field with them and expect to win. So you keep running the football, try to sustain drives, and keep them off the field as much as possible. Right? I mean, I don't know if there's any other way around it.
That's
I mean,
the formula.
You have to chew up the clock by running the football.
They didn't own the time of possession last week. I feel like the Titans are going to have to this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think the time of possession is going to be a little bit more important, although everything you would think would be important leading up to this point really hasn't come into play, and yet they found a way to win. So what the heck do we know? We'll come back. Predators General Manager David Poyle, his weekly chat with us. That is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Every Tuesday at 11:15, we talk to Predators General Manager David Poyle. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here in Nashville. Willie Donick is in very, very, very cold Edmonton. Tonight it'll be the Preds and the Oilers as the Predators wrap up this road trip. And last check, it was negative 18 up in Edmonton.
No, thank you.
I'll pass on that.
It's cold.
8 o'clock puck drop tonight. I'll have pregame for you at 7. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. David, how you doing? Good morning.
I can confirm that it is negative 18 here. It is really cold.
Hopefully you're doing this indoors.
Yes, at the moment I am. Hockey started on outdoor rinks, but even in Edmonton, it is so cold that basically in almost all the youth hockey and obviously, the pro hockey is played indoors. That's how cold it is here in Edmonton.
Wow. Wow. David Poyle brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. Let's talk about a guy we've already talked to you about in the past since coming from Milwaukee, but he continues to impress. And I just want to get your feelings on what you're seeing right now out of Yakov Trenin. I mean, it's one thing for us to talk about what he did to Chara, but it's much more than that. He is providing a spark to this team, offense. I think that fourth line with Blackwell and Turris has been playing really well. What are your thoughts?
The first word that comes to mind is consistency. I say that because a lot of our problems, I think, with our overall team has been our lack of consistency. And Trenin has been basically the same game in and game out. He's really focused. I think when he was a little bit younger, he saw himself as an offensive player playing on the top two lines. That may still come in his future, but right now he's playing in straight lines, north, south, gets in on the forecheck, makes the big hits. And offensively, when he's had the puck, he's done a really good job. Our fourth line has been a real boost to our team. provided energy, a spark. He and Blackwell together have been guys that have really made a difference in our team. And I like his size. I like his energy. And, you know, it started in Milwaukee this year when he really found his, I guess, his scoring touch, but played a consistent game there too. Still didn't leave his roots, if you will. Still played a real physical game down there. So I am very happy with Trennan and also Blackwell. And they made a difference and it really helped turn the season around for the Predators.
Something that stood out to me, I think it was in the third period on Sunday afternoon, it was Laine skating into the Predators' zone. And Laine's a big boy, and Trennan was hunting him down and gave him a back check, and that play just stopped dead in its tracks, and the Predators took the puck and headed the other direction. I mean, that was pretty impressive to watch.
Yeah, that second effort is something that we need. Every team needs that all the time, and basically that's one of the most dangerous players in the game offensively. And Yak's back check there and his second effort really negated that. You know, a scoring chance. And I really liked what I liked about, you know, the whole, I guess I'd say the result, winning 1-0, of course, liked the win, but I think it was really important to play a game that was that close, you know, defensively. A lot of our games this year have been, you know, have a lot of goals scored, but a lot of goals scored against. And I think it was great to be able to see our guys play in a really a tight game like that, that more resembled a playoff type of a game in my mind. And that, like tonight we get into Edmonton, that's going to be a real challenge because they're dynamic offensively, and our ability to shut them down or keep them in check will be a real test for us tonight.
Were you disappointed that UC Saros didn't score in Winnipeg?
No, I was very happy with everything that happened that game. I'm good. He might have been disappointed, but I wasn't disappointed. I was very happy.
In all seriousness, what was it like to see that goal from Pekka in Chicago?
Well, it was fantastic. I mean, you know that Pekka's been talking about that.
Yeah.
For a fair bit. He handles the puck all the time, and he, you know, even in practice every day, he shoots the puck down the ice for, you know, clearing and maybe to score a goal. So I thought that was great. You know, you're looking for good things to happen now with our team, especially wins. But when you have individual moments like that, you saw how happy the players were for Pekka, how they embraced it. They wanted him to go by the bench to do that flyby that usually happens when a guy scores a goal, the high five, but he didn't want to do that. But I thought it was all great. The one interesting part for us to sit upstairs, like we sit next to Ben Vanderklok, who's our goalie coach, and you got to believe how much time these guys spend together, Ben and the goalies, and they're like, we call them the goalie union or what have you. Well, when we scored the first empty net goal, 4-2, we all high-fived each other, and then Ben got up, he left because he wanted to go downstairs. So of all people, Ben missed Pekka scoring the goal.
No.
Because he was heading downstairs. So he got razzed pretty good on that one.
Oh, man. David Poile on the line with us. What have you seen out of John Hines? Obviously a very tough spot in his first game, just getting introduced to the media, the fans, his team, and then having to go out there and play the Bruins. But now that things have settled in on this road trip and you've picked up a couple wins, what have you seen out of him that you like?
Well, I think he's come in here knowing a little bit about the organization, a little bit about our team. And what I find that he's every day he's asking a lot of questions, whether it be of myself or the other coaches. And I don't want to say coming in softly, but I think he's being very respectful of, you know, the players, of our staff, and trying to find out as much as he can about everybody. This is a difficult situation, you know, basically no practices. You know, yesterday was, I guess, his second practice. So, you know, trying to tweak a few things after, you know, listening to everybody and how we think we're doing things or what we think we could do better, and making his own, you know, is getting his own handprint on some of the different stuff that we're doing. So I think it's so far so good. I like his demeanor. I like his approach every game. And again, just a few tweaks here and there. Maybe we can get a little bit more consistent with our game and get back in the winning column on a more regular basis.
David, last thing on my end, it's a little bit off the radar, but you're much more equipped to answer this than me, just because I think it's interesting that you just see a headline and fans are not sure. And I'll be perfectly honest. I don't really understand the dynamic when Philip Tomasino, your first round pick, was traded for 9 picks and a player in the OHL. And the more I talk to people, I guess this stuff goes on all the time. Now, for people that you would have no clue, they're like, what? The Predators have traded. That's not how it works. You don't lose your team rights. But could you explain that a little bit more, how that dynamic works in the OHL?
Well, Tomasino's, we drafted him as our first-round pick. He signed to a contract. We assigned him to to the OHL because you can't, as an 18- or 19-year-old player, you can play in the National Hockey League, but if you're not, if you can't make our team, then you can't go to Milwaukee or our farm club. So you go to, in this case, to the OHL. So you know, we don't have any control over that team trading him or anything that like that. All we have control over is he could be called up to Nashville to play here if we thought that he was good enough to play here. I think these deals in the junior hockey is you can't compare them to the NHL. There's basically no such thing as getting traded for 7, 8, or 9 draft picks. It seems like a lot. Oshawa as a top team, and Philip as a top player, they're trying to win this year. And also next year, if Philip wasn't able to make our team, Oshawa has the Memorial Cup, which is the tournament at the end of the year to decide who the best team is in Canada at the junior level. So they paid a lot to get a top player, and I guess their hope is they win this year and that Thomas Philip doesn't make our team next year, and he plays for Oshawa there. But I agree with you, Darren. When I saw that, it seemed like a lot to pay for anybody. But again, it's a reflection of how good of a player Philip is, and the fact that they think they can be one of the best teams with him there. So let's see what happens.
Predators general manager David Poile is with us, and you know, last week when everything went down, you were very honest in your press conference about that you need to see more out of these players and want to see them play to the best of their ability. With now a week with John Hines, do you feel like that maybe there is a little bit of chemistry starting to develop, albeit still very early, with the players and his systems, and Rob Scuderi coming in as another assistant coach to help the defense? Do you feel like you're starting to see something out of these guys that you wanted to see more of?
Well, everything is based usually on winning games, and now we've won the last two, so I think we're getting a little bit more confidence. But it's like the Army. You got to earn your stripes every day, and we know that just like Winnipeg was a divisional game and basically a four-pointer. In other words, if Winnipeg would have won, they would have been 7 points ahead of us. That would not have been good. We win the game, we're only 3 behind Winnipeg. It's the same thing tonight when we play Edmonton. It's a 4-point game. This could be a team, if we could beat them, that we get obviously 2 points closer to being in the playoffs. And this would be a team that we could actually beat out for the playoffs, because, you know, if we're not in the top 3, you get a wild card spot. Edmonton's a team that might be the team we have to beat out. And we play them tonight, and we play them, I think, in about three weeks. So these games are just huge by where we are in the standings. But I think we're doing a little bit better. I think we're doing things a little bit differently. But as you said, it's only been a week, and we got tonight. We got 2 more games, and then we take the break. I think the coaches will have a chance to get to know each other even better over the break. I think they're going to not take the full break, if you will, like the players have, and they'll probably get back to getting to know each other and working on systems and tweaking some of the things that they've already started to do. So it's a work in progress, but it feels like it's going in the right direction. And that just gets confirmed by whether we win or lose. And hopefully tonight we'll come out on the right end of what I think is a huge game tonight here in Edmonton.
You had said when John Hines came in that everything kind of resets and you're going to take some time to reevaluate now with a new coach. Does having the break at the time that it's coming, is that a luxury to give you? You had 6 games at that point to then have that break to kind of talk to coaches and for you to look at things. Is it coming at the right time?
It's okay either way. I mean, obviously, if you were winning your next 3 games, you might want to say let's keep going. But I think it's been really it doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day right now in terms of, you know, talking, meeting, going over things, that type of situation. And I'm saying it from my standpoint. I can just imagine how it is for John Hines as he gets to know our roster, our players on an individual basis, you know, our new coaches, people that he's never worked with before. So I think it'll be fine either way. And like I said, if you know, they come back a couple of days earlier from the break, they can get to know each other a little bit more and just, you know, get work on specific individual things or team concepts that, you know, when you're playing every other night, you may not have time for. So I'm good with it either way. I think we're just kind of living day to day here right now. And so everything, our thought process is really about, you know, tonight as a manager, I'm thinking more long-term, but John and coaching staff and the players, I think their focus should clearly be on tonight's game, and we'll go from there.
You've had some guys banged up and out of the lineup. How close do you think you are to getting some of these guys like a Dante Fabro, Ryan Ellis, Colton Sissons, getting them back?
I think Fabro was really close to play. I think he had a really good practice yesterday. We'll see what goes on in the morning skate, but I think he's very close. Our hope is for Colton to be back after the break. He's now starting to skate a little bit on his own. I think he might see him maybe even get into a practice or the last practice on Saturday, which is the day before the break. And then we'll hopefully get him after the break. That's kind of a iffy situation right now, but I think he'll be close. You know, Ryan Ellis has obviously got a concussion from the hit on by Corey Perry in the Winter Classic, and that's a little bit more difficult, you know, prognosis to forecast when Ryan will be ready to play. But we miss them all, and hope it won't be too long.
David, try to stay warm if that's possible, and we'll see you when you get back to balmy Nashville.
I can't wait to get back to balmy Nashville. So, you guys don't want to be here right now, I don't think. That's a good selling point for players to come to Nashville. Let's say that.
So tomorrow, I think it's supposed to be. Yeah, tomorrow it's supposed to be close to 70 here. So, just saying.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. That's great.
Thank you, David.
See you guys.
David Poyle, brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Appreciate his weekly visit. As always, we'll come back. Don't forget, at high noon, Derek Morgan, former Titan, and Teron Davenport will be in studio with us for a good portion of the second half of the show today. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Chance to win tickets to see the Predators and the Sabres on Saturday, January 18th, before we get out of here this hour. So be listening for that. That is coming up here soon. So maybe they're going to get some good news on Dante Fabro, who had a good skate, practiced well on this road trip, and is very, very close to getting back. Also, he said looks like they are targeting Colton Sissons to return to the lineup after the break. Remember, they've got a long break after the Buffalo Sabres game. They are off for, 8 days before they return to action?
Yep.
So they're off from their last game is the 18th, and then they return to action on the 27th at home against the Maple Leafs. So that's what they're kind of targeting, getting Colton Sissons back then. So be listening, because we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to see the Sabres and the Preds on Saturday. They've got Edmonton tonight and then two home games. Thursday at Bridgestone Arena, will be at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Yep. For Thursday's show. That'll be Fan Foodie Night. Food and drinks.
Anaheim.
Food and drinks, 50% off. And then Saturday against Buffalo.
And you know what's special about the Saturday game? It's a whiteout. They will wear the Winter Classic jerseys for the first time at home.
Awesome.
So I think that'll be cool.
Which have been a big hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hope those don't go away. Hope they stick around for a while, because they're really, really nice.
I don't even have one yet.
I don't either. I'm going to have to fix that.
Yeah. I think both of us are.
Yeah. have to go and
just for sake of having one to look back, right?
Sure. I mean, you know, that's one of those that you maybe hang up somewhere, but because we don't really have opportunities to wear jerseys much because we're working, but still want to have one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting to see how this team plays to wrap things up tonight in Edmonton, because they have looked better the last two games. It's looked different. It's felt different. Of course, they've got the results they're looking for as well with 4 points. But this Edmonton team is no joke when it comes to scoring. Everybody knows Leon Draisaitl and Connor McJesus. I mean, McDavid. Those two just, they lead like every offensive category there is. So you'll have to certainly make sure that you're responsible in your zone against those guys. They will make you pay.
Look, this is a big game tonight to try and continue to improve and implement systems. You know, it's a good thing that they were able to have a practice to get together and continue to work on those systems that John Hines is putting in place. You know, having Rob Scuderi, getting Dan Lambert and Dan Muse, you know, used to the new way of doing things, and Ben Vanderklok. So I think it was very beneficial to have that and to continue to have that, because that's the only way you're going to get better is, you know, when you are able to get together and have practice time, which they're limited. They're limited on when they can practice. So
yep.
This is when you need it, because they didn't get training camp together. So you need it right now.
Let's go on and do this. Kind of like with Elliot Friedman, right? We kind of make sure you're paying attention to the interview. In that interview with David Poile, the person that can correctly call in to Elijah and tell him the answer to this question, you're going to be in the house Saturday night against the Sabres. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You must call in to win these. I brought up a player who was traded in the OHL. Okay, he's the property of the Predators. And I'm not going to tell you what round they took him, because that'll give it away. But he's the property of the Predators. He was traded for 9 draft picks and a player. Name that player who was just traded in the OHL. That is the rights of the Nashville Predators. Name him, and you'll be in the house on Saturday. 615-737-1025.
Boom. Make him work for it.
By the way, it was something we've talked about. It's been really nice to see the third and fourth lines really get some production out of them. Kyle Turris, of course, had the lone goal on Sunday. We know that third line of Smith, Bonino, and Grimaldi have been playing really well. But they're going to have to start getting more production up front.
They do.
The top six. Got to get more production.
Well, and, you know, that's something that David Poile said last week, you know, when everything was changing, that there are certain players that just have to play better. And I think we all know who they are. You're paying a lot of money up front, you know, especially down the middle. And, you know, one guy that we saw get into the scoring column and he did it the other day, was the only goal, was Kyle Turris. And I've liked what I've seen out of Kyle Turris over the last handful of games. But you need to see that out of Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson. You know, though, your top guys need to play like your top guys.
Granlund's got to get going.
Well, Granlund's got to get going, or Granlund's got to get out.
I mean, he's got a new lease on life, a new coach.
Yeah. But they gave up, say what you want about Kevin Fiala, they gave up a young player to get him because they felt like that Mikhail Granlund was going to be an upgrade and was going to come in here and help this team, and he hasn't lived up to it. He's got to. I mean, he's on the hook for 5.5 and then going to be a free agent. And these guys just need to live up to these expectations, and that's what David Poile's looking for right now. That's the evaluation process before, you know, the trade deadline, and he starts trying to make some tweaks here and there. I believe, even though things have looked different over the course of the last, let's say, 2 games, you're going to see there's probably going to come a point where this team's going to look a little different. Like, they get to the deadline, there's probably going to be some moves. I don't think you can stand pat and go on a potential playoff run with the current team that you have. And I think David Poile knows that. He's basically said it. So But he also said that there was going to be a reset. They're going to give it some time, see what John Hines has, put his systems in place, and then do the evaluation process over again. So they got time. That's the luxury. That's why you make the coaching move when you did. I mean, that's why they did it before the All-Star break, to give them time to evaluate. And then once you get around the deadline, you can start to see what you have and what you need to get.
Unfortunately, Roman Josi's 12-game point streak came to an end in Winnipeg. But congratulations to UC Soros, who collected his 8th career shutout. So still very young in his career, and he's already had 8 shutouts in their 1-0 victory. We will come back and close out hour number 2 of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Conference championships this weekend, 2 o'clock, all the action begins in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium, Titans and Chiefs, Packers, 49ers on the NFC side, that'll be the nightcap. Both winners punch their ticket to South Beach. Somebody's going to Miami. We're going to find out after Sunday's action, and it's hard to believe that the Titans are one of those teams. I mean, the Packers had a great regular season. The 49ers had a great regular season. The Chiefs had a great regular season. No surprises there that they're in this position. But the Titans, nobody was picking.
No, not even us.
They're the last team in. So the question is, can they pull off kind of like what the Predators did 3 years ago?
It's funny you bring that up, because Ryan Porth and I were talking about that this morning, and he laid it out of it pretty much is fitting the script that you had. Chicago was still Chicago. They were still the Blackhawks. They were
the Patriots.
The Patriots. Then you had in the second round the old rival that, you know, has always kind of been a thorn in your backside, you know, in St. Louis, that you take care of them. That's Baltimore. And then you have the opponent in the conference championship that you've had their number.
I mean, they've had the Chiefs number.
Right. Just like the Preds had the Ducks number.
Yep.
So it's kind of going the same way, and then we'll see what happens beyond that. But look, I think everybody has watched the last 2 weeks and now goes, it's probably the national media is like, okay, probably easy to pick the Chiefs, but you're hearing more and more of the narrative. The Titans could win this game. They could make this interesting. I mean, I don't know if anyone actually picked them, you know, in the national media to beat Baltimore, but the consensus I got was this isn't going to be a blowout. This is going to be a closer game than everybody gives it credit for, and then it ended up being a blowout the other way. I mean, it ended up being the Titans dominating. So I think you have to respect Kansas City. I think Kansas City is going to be a tougher opponent than what Baltimore was. But at the same time, the Titans have momentum and confidence on their side. I think they believe they can go in there and win, and that's what they need to do. That's all they need to believe. Is if they actually think they can do it, then there's a good chance they do.
Well, that's what we talked about with Chris Sanders earlier in the show. It's that belief.
Yeah.
And he said it. And I know that to be a fact because, you know, I've told the story many times of me walking out with Lorenzo Neal at the end of that regular season in 99. They just beat the Jags, and Jacksonville finished 14-2. They beat them for the second time, and Titans finished 13-3. And I said, what if – I was walking out to the players' car lot with Lorenzo Neal, and I said, what if you guys get the Jags again in the playoffs? And he looked at me with no hesitation and said, oh, we'll beat Jacksonville again. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
3 times? He goes, oh, yeah. I was like, what?
And they
how can you feel that good? He goes, because it's in their eyes, man. Mm-hmm. We can see it. They know they can't beat us.
Yep.
And it was interesting to hear Chris say Jacksonville was more talented than them. But you know.
And they were.
But that so many times, that really does, right? I mean, the most talented team doesn't always win. That's how it works. That's the beauty of sports. And there's got to be sometimes a little bit, more to it than just
yeah.
talent for talent, because if it was just the most talented teams always win, then the high seeds would always win. We would never have upsets.
Right. And not only did the Titans win that game, but they won it decisively. I watched that game a few years ago again. I never really felt like Jacksonville was in it.
You
had the safety, D-Mace returns the safety kick for a touchdown.
Yep.
So that's where it really got away from Jacksonville. And then Steve McNair was on fire. So Eddie, they had that belief. And there's something so important about that of if you're a team and you believe that, you know what, we're going to go in there and we're going to win. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. A lot of times when you believe, then it happens. It's all about manifesting it. If you think you're going to lose, you're probably going to lose. So it's just keeping that belief.
Again, there is pressure on Kansas City. There's pressure on Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Now, maybe they use this in their favor. I don't know. But there's real pressure. Andy Reid, I'll say it, he's more known for being a choke artist in January. He just is.
I mean, and
Elijah knows. We were doing the Predators game in here on Sunday afternoon, and it was 24-0. I looked at him and I said, if this ends up playing out this way, which we both kind of knew, Kansas City's going to – there's going to be a comeback. I didn't think it was going to be 41 unanswered.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't think the game was over. I just said, if it plays out this way, I was like, it's time for people to stop using Marty Schottenheimer as the example and now insert Andy Reid.
Right.
That's how bad he's been, and that's how much – He has been a Hall of Famer, first ballot regular season head coach. He has been far from that in postseason play.
How many times has he gotten his teams to the conference championship? He's been to one Super Bowl.
I don't know what the exact number is.
I think he got Philly five times. And they went to one Super Bowl.
Kansas City's now back-to-back
years. Back-to-back, which I think that's the only times.
Yeah, because he lost – didn't they have that – weren't they up huge on Indianapolis Indy, and they choked it away?
Yep. So, I mean, that's the point. Like, okay, that's good that he gets his teams to the conference championship, but only one Super Bowl appearance? And he's coached how long? So, 2004 was when they finally won the NFC and hadn't been back to the Super Bowl since. I mean, that's...
And there's real pressure. By the way, there was real pressure on Kansas City. If they didn't win that home game, that's only, what, the second time they've won? Is that right? At home? Because last year they beat the Colts. That was the first in 25 years.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the second time. All the playoff games that have been in Arrow, it's only the second time they've won at home.
Yep.
Was this past weekend against the Texans and then last year against the Colts to get to the AFC title game? So there's real pressure, the pressure that they've notoriously choked at home, pressure that Andy Reid has been a choke artist in January, and oh, by the way, just simply the pressure of what we were just talking about. The Titans have had their way with them the last eight meetings.
Yeah, I think he's only beaten them once or twice in his career.
1-7 in the last eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has had virtually no success against the Titans. I know Jeff Fisher...
That's one of those stats. I wouldn't look at it too hard. I mean, you just got to go win this game. But it is interesting that he hasn't been able to figure the Titans out through so many different changes that the Titans have had. I mean, we're going to talk to Derek Morgan, who was on that team 2 years ago. But think about how much both of these teams have changed since they met in the playoffs. Alex Smith is gone. It's Patrick Mahomes' team now. Marcus Mariota is on the bench. It's Ryan Tannehill's team. Those are obviously the two biggest. You brought up earlier that Travis Kelce factored in. You know, when he went out, the game really changed. Is Travis Kelce 100% going into this one? I don't think so. So that could be a factor again. And then Derrick Henry is a completely different running back. He's a different beast now. They still had DeMarco Murray, didn't they?
Yeah.
So... I mean, that's another thing to look at. And, you know, you got changes on defense as well, and obviously a different coaching staff for the Titans. So a lot of different things about this matchup this weekend. But, You know, again, I go back to what we started this segment talking about. If there is a sense of belief in that locker room that whatever they're doing is working and they believe that they can keep it going and go in there and win, then that's what they need. And there's so much momentum and confidence on their side right now that I think it's going to be a great game. And I have a belief. I wouldn't bet against them. Not right now. Not the way they're playing. Wouldn't bet against this team.
Elijah's telling me Andy Reid is 1-5 in conference championship games.
That sounds right then. So this will be the 7th conference championship game for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds right.
Under 500 in playoffs total. He's got a 48% winning percentage in the playoffs, about 64 in regular season.
Unbelievable. As much winning as he's done in his career in the regular season and the teams that he's had, the talent that he's had, that's the record. That's something.
By the way, it was Derrick Henry in that playoff game.
So it was?
Yeah, he had a big game, remember? I think he ran for over 150 yards. So it was Derrick Henry.
Yeah, because DeMarco was hurt.
Yeah, Delanie Walker and Derrick Henry had
big
games. Well, Delanie had a lot of catches.
Right. And, of course, we all remember Marcus, the tip pass to himself for the touchdown. So that was when things really started to change. But this team now that's going into Kansas City, this is a much better team than that team 2 years ago. There have been so many changes, and we've brought it up about John Robinson and the group that he's built and Vrabel evolving as a head coach. You know, one thing I'm curious to ask Derek Morgan about is he played 1 year for Vrabel the first year. You know, what he's seen from afar, what he's heard from some of his former teammates of just how much Vrabel has evolved into the head coaching role. I think that'll be interesting to hear.
Congratulations to Katie Smith. Katie was the first to call in as the lines exploded and tell Elijah that it was Philip Tomasino, the former the first round pick by the Predators, who's 18 years old, and he was the one who was traded in the OHL for nine draft picks and a player. And you heard David Poyle, he did a really good job of explaining how that works and why that team is going for it, and they've got the Memorial Cup next year, and so they're banking on he's not going to make the Predators roster next year, so he'll be their property again next year, so that's why they gave it up. But it's also probably a big indictment on how good Tomasino is, right, that they're willing to do all that for his services. So congratulations to Katie. She correctly said that, and she'll be in Bridgestone Arena Saturday night when the Predators host the Sabres. We'll come back and chat with Derek Morgan to kind of get things going here in the third hour of the program. We do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.